You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
As the global capitalist crisis deepens, the question of an alternative social order is posed more starkly. Recently, a conference was held in Sydney, Australia, titled World at a Crossroads, Fighting for Socialism in the 21st Century. 450 people attended from Asia-Pacific countries and Latin America. Roger Annis is an aerospace worker in Vancouver and a member of the Socialist Forum, and he was one of those attending. And he's just returned home to Vancouver, and he joins us by phone this morning. Hello, Roger.
Good morning.
So who organized the conference?
It was organized by one of the socialist groups in Australia, the Democratic Socialist Perspective. They publish a widely read weekly newspaper in Australia and fairly well read internationally as well, called Green Left Weekly. And they're also part of the political electoral alliance called Socialist Alliance that's been working away for the past 8 years in Australia, trying to broaden the voice of socialism in that country.
So Australia must have been a big part of the discussion, given that it took place there. What did you learn of the situation there?
Well, it's very interesting. Like Canada, they're at the onset of the economic collapse. It hasn't happened quite as hard there yet, but it was actually while I was there that some very significant layoffs in industries began to take place in the steel industry and also in the national airline. So it was becoming the kind of national debate that it's become already in Canada. There's very big concerns in Australia concerning the environment. It's a country that already lives on the edge of sustainability, because so much of the country is desert and so much of the water resources of the country have been abused to develop its agricultural industry. So that's a deeply felt issue. And also indigenous rights are a very big concern for people in Australia who are concerned about social rights, in particular because of a very heavy-handed intervention by the federal government in 2007 in the indigenous lands of the Northern Territory. And I would say also the trade unions and labor movement have been facing a considerable challenge. They've been through three terms of a very right-wing government under Prime Minister John Howard that was closely aligned with the U.S. government in foreign policy, which did a lot to dismantle trade union rights and some of the social gains that workers in Australia have won over the decades. And it was, you know, quite well received in the unions, the defeat of the Howard government and the election of the Labour Party in the national election in 2007. But I would say many in the Labour movement today feel that the new Labour Party government is far from being able to take the country forward at this stage.
So is it continuing some of the same policies of the Howard government?
Yes, unfortunately, it is. There's a continuation of Australia's participation in the war in Afghanistan, and also its support, although not direct participation, in the U.S. war in Iraq. There's not all of the labor legislation of the Howard government has been undone by the Labor Party, just aspects of it. And the Labour Party has continued what's called the intervention in the indigenous territories of the country.
Now, there were delegates also from the Philippines and from Indonesia and from Malaysia. Is there a country there that where you would say leftist movements are well-rooted among the people?
Yes, really in all of them who were at the conference, there were invited guests from socialist parties from India, the Communist Party of India, Marxist-Leninist, it's called, from the Socialist Party of Malaysia, Indonesia. There wasn't, unfortunately, from South Korea, although that would have been an interesting story to learn, because there's been significant developments recently, both in the trade union movement and then expanding into the political realm in South Korea. But certainly the most interesting in Asia-Pacific was the participation of a leader of the new left party that's formed in the Philippines, called the Party of the Masses. Rehena Mohiden is one of the vice chair people of the new party, and it's part of a much broader social ferment and radicalization that's taking place in the Philippines. Our own labor council here in Vancouver got a good feel for that with the delegation that it had in the Philippines in December of last year, and I've heard several of the reports. One of them was an interview on this program from Bill Saunders, the president of the Labor Council, and they were deeply impressed by the determination and commitment of the ordinary people of the Philippines to create a society of social justice amidst very considerable challenges and difficulties.
Yes, I spoke to Bill Saunders. It was very interesting to hear about what's happening in the Philippines. What about Indonesia and Malaysia?
Well, they've just been through the first round of a national election in Indonesia. The country's not has come out of a very long nightmare of a military dictatorship under Suharto that began in 1965, and it's been less than 10 years of real functioning democracy. So they've been through a first round of a difficult and complicated national election because there's it's the fourth largest country in the world by population. Not an easy country to hold a national election in the best of circumstances. A real multiplicity of political parties and still a sorting out process going on of creating the broadest alliance possible of parties that are committed to social justice, and certainly a very strong legacy still from the days of the Suharto dictatorship, which shadows over politics in that country. And for example, its left-wing parties in Indonesia are routinely assaulted physically by the right-wing forces that continue with the ideology of the Suharto regime. So a difficult and complicated process, and one really has to doff one's cap to the determination of activists that are organizing in the political as well as social realm in that country in the midst of really tough economic conditions, but also very difficult conditions of basic political rights for being able to function.
Now, ambassadors from Cuba and Venezuela to Australia also took part in the conference. How do socialists in Australia and the Asia Pacific at large see the political developments currently taking place in Latin America?
Well, they've been widely received, and surprisingly, even though they're more removed geographically than we are from Venezuela, I think that the events in Venezuela have had even bigger repercussions in that country because they've been able to create a national network of solidarity with Venezuela that's been able to organize to have delegations going to Venezuela on a pretty regular basis. And I should say that one of the participants at the conference was our own Michael Leibowitz, a professor emeritus from Simon Fraser University, who's been resident in Venezuela for some years now and become quite a knowledgeable, if not expert, person on the political process in Venezuela. So people like him in Australia are traveling to or spending time in Venezuela and Bolivia as well, writing about it and speaking about it. So Michael, along with Luis Bilbao, an editor of a monthly magazine in Latin America, who was also at the conference, were on a speaking tour of the major cities in Australia at around the same time as the conference to report on the most recent developments in that country. The ambassador of Venezuela in Australia, Nelson Davila, has been a very active person in the political life of Australia, and certainly getting the word about what's been accomplished in Venezuela and the significance of that for the whole world. That's been another factor in making known so much the politics of the Bolivarian Revolution.
Now, there was a delegate at the conference who edits a Latin American journal titled 21st Century America. Was there something that stood out for you from his presentation to the conference?
Yes, that's Luis Bilbao, who I just mentioned. When the conference began, we were just at the outset of the Summit of the Americas, and he gave a talk at the conference where he said, "We don't know yet what's going to take place at the Summit of the Americas in Trinidad, but it's going to be an historic event." Among other things, he predicted that this would be the last meeting of this summit, which has been meeting every 3 years, more or less, and also more or less under the direction of the U.S. government. This would be the last summit, first of all, where Cuba would be excluded from participation, and secondly, where the U.S. government would be in the driver's seat, and that was certainly borne out by events. He didn't know of at the time, but then spoke about at some length at a public forum in Sydney about 5 days after the conference was over. This was a forum actually exactly 1 week ago that I was able to attend the day before I departed. He commented on the profound, that was the term he used, and historic significance of the statement of the seven countries of the ALBA, Social and Economic Agreement, seven Latin American Caribbean countries that form ALBA, who issued a statement on the eve of the Summit of the Americas meeting, which was a very sweeping assessment of the world as it is today, and it focused particularly on the economic collapse of the world capitalist system and the need to create an alternative of social justice and of social rights, and also pointed to the environmental and climate emergency that we face today in the world. So it was a very sweeping statement summarizing the challenge that's before humanity. There hasn't been a document like this signed by even, you know, a relatively small range of countries of Latin America, and so he pointed to this as something of considerable significance for people around the world to read the documents, study it, and learn from what the leaders of these countries are saying.
Sounds like an invigorating event.
It was indeed so much food for thought, and it was mostly just so encouraging to see that in so many countries of the world, there, despite all the difficulties, that there's progress being made in building new societies of social justice. I was quite deeply impressed, and that's really why I went, because I looked at the speakers and I thought, there's a lot there to learn, and sure enough, that was borne out.
Well, thanks for sharing some of that with us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I've been speaking with Roger Annis. He's an aerospace worker in Vancouver and a member of the Socialist Forum.